I suppose that one of the most extraordinary things about the whole case was the voice. Now, this voice was quite something. And how it started was this. On December the 10th, 1977, we're talking about, I was sitting in the room, in the front room there, downstairs, with the mother and the children, and we were just talking, and suddenly there was whistling and going on. And I thought, that's funny, it's very sophisticated whistling. The children can't whistle like that. It sounds like the whistling that Mr. Nottingham does. He whistles quite a bit next door, but he's not there, he's at work. I thought, crazy. Suddenly, a dog barked in the room. Fine, a dog barked in the room. But there was no dog there. I thought, well, you know, this is even crazier still. And I began to think, you know, okay, it can whistle, it can bark. And things began to turn around in my head. And it went on quite a bit. Then, about lunchtime, Guy Playfair came along, and I said to Guy, this morning I heard a dog barking and whistling in the room, and there was no dog there. And I said, it was a dog barking. Well, he took everything in his stride, he always did. And we decided then that if it could bark and it could whistle, it may be able to talk. And I said to Guy, well, I'll tell you what, if it happens this evening, I'm going to take the children into the bedroom by themselves and see whether it can talk. Now, this was the day that 9 other investigators, most of them scientists, were in the house. So we had quite a lot of people who heard the first noise that was made. About 6 o'clock in the evening, when everybody was there, got the barking and whistling again. Round about 9 o'clock, if I remember rightly, I said to Mrs. Hodson, can I take the children upstairs? I want to do an experiment. She said, okay. I mean, she's used to it by now. She's used to everything. So I took the children upstairs and they got into bed. And in the next bedroom, in the small box room, Guy Playfair was there with his headphones on, and we put a microphone in the room I was in with the children, so he could hear all what was going on. And the barking and whistling was going on. Then I suddenly said, if you can bark and you can whistle, you can talk. Say my name. Quite a while, nothing happened. Then suddenly it said, Morris. I thought, good. Good, some results. And then I challenged it again. I said, no, that's not my name, because I didn't hear it properly, you see. It was like Morris, or something like that. So I said, no, say it again. This time it said, Morris, quite clearly. Then I challenged it to say Dr. Belloc. Dr. Belloc, one of my colleagues, was there that night. He's a very famous parapsychologist. And it said, Dr. Bella. So I knew that we had a voice. Now, what was this voice? How did it work? First of all, when it started to speak, I thought we had a discarnate voice, what we call discarnate voice, a voice coming from nowhere out of the air. Then I began to realize, when I watched the children more carefully, or watched Janet particularly more carefully, it seemed to be coming from her direction. Now, her lips weren't moving. Her mouth wasn't moving. Her lips, a slight tremble on her lips, but that's all. But I noticed when the voice spoke, her chest went up and down. So I watched her very carefully. And then, after a while, I challenged her and I said, Janet, that voice is coming from you. She said, oh no, it's not. I said, yes, it's coming from you, Janet. She says, not. I said, if it's not coming from you, where is it coming from? She says, coming from behind me. I said, you sure? She said, absolutely certain. That voice is not coming from me, it's coming from behind me. So we did a test later on, sometime later. We did just a simple test, not terribly scientific, but a simple test. We put a microphone in front of her throat, one on the back of her neck. And we found that the one on the back of her neck was louder than the one on her throat. Shouldn't be so.